Hello, and welcome back to Warrior Moms. I am Michelle Davis, Carter's mom, and Amy isn't here with us in the studio, but I have Christine McHenry, who is one of the founders of Warrior Moms, and I'm so thankful that you're here and that we get to talk about Jamie this morning. Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's just jump in. I think this, seeing your posts online, Christine, you know, this time, you know, having you on the studio right in the middle of this time couldn't be better is the wrong word, but it's definitely the time that is probably really heavy on your heart right now.
Right.
So let's, before we jump into that, let's just hear about Jamie.
Sure. So Jamie was, I always struggle with the current and past tense. He'll always be our 13-year-old son, forever 13. We lost Jamie on a spring break trip. He was on a trip, first trip away without us, with his best friend's family down in Florida. And he and his friend were crossing A1A down in Hutchinson Island to get some snacks. And they had been several times back and forth. And this particular day, they were going apparently to get some more combos, you know, those pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks. And it was 7 o'clock on a Wednesday evening, and they crossed A1A, and for whatever reasons that we'll never know, Jamie's friend Nick crossed. He was fine, but Jamie hesitated, and he was struck and hit and killed by a 73-year-old driver.
And, oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, even 11 years later down the road, it's really hard to digest, to fathom that a kid that was so alive at the age of 13, you know, right. He was gone and on the turn of a dime. And it just, you know, horrible. So that whole spring break, you know, happiness, relaxation time with family, time to get away, the beach, Florida. It takes on such a negative connotation.
And, oh, yeah. But there's, when you see your friends posting, you know, kids, you know, heading to spring break, I bet your stomach just flips.
Oh, yeah, it does. And, you know, but for me, the whole seeing the memories and all the events leading up to it, again, it's like I have to live those memories. Because even 11 years later, I'm still processing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and it will be. It'll be a thing that I'll be dealing with the rest of my life. And that's just the way this grief is and the way that, you know, the love that I have for Jamie goes. And it's kind of this paradox that we live in.
I know it. We cling to those memories, and yet it's, you know, it's so painful. Some days it takes our breath away.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love how you, I've been in Warrior Moms, I think 4 years now. And one of the things that I really take from you, Christine, is, you know, just, you have a fight about you, about that this pain isn't going to take you down. And, you talk about Jamie, you share about Jamie. There isn't a day that I pull up Facebook and I'm, you know, seeing Jamie and learning something about him and, you know, your daughter, Emily, as well. And I feel like I know a piece of him, and he sounded like such a hoot.
Yeah, he was a character. I mean, we always kidded around with Jamie on an adult level, which he had a very advanced sense of humor. Sometimes it would get him in trouble, But he was
sure,
just,
that 13-year-old boy, right?
Yes, exactly. And he was just, he was a light. I mean, he could be a royal pain in the ass as well. I mean, he was a mixture of so many of my relatives and particularly my father. My father and Jamie would have gotten along famously. They both had that kind of sarcastic, but yet enduring. They were just very, they loved their people, but they were going to give them a hard time and,
yeah,
you know, just constantly ribbing and,
yeah,
you know, just funny kid. And, yeah. So, you know, after that spring break trip and trying to, you know, I mean, how do you land back on your feet? You're never going to be.
Well, and remind me, Christine, sorry to interrupt. Were you there or were you at home?
No, we were not there. So we, you know, I'm a CPA. And so I was doing taxes at the time. And during that time, during spring break, you know, I could never get away. I mean, it's right in the middle of tax season. So Jamie was invited by three different friends to go on three different trips. And one of them was a cruise and it was too expensive, which of course, you know, now in hindsight, if we all had that crystal ball,
right,
you know, we'd change it up in a heartbeat. But so anyway, so Jamie was invited to go on three separate trips and he chose the trip that he went on. And you know, we felt bad that Emily, our daughter, who was 11 at the time, she wasn't able to go anywhere because, you know, mom was working, dad was working.
Yeah.
And so we felt bad. So we took her up to our cabin. We have a cabin up in the North Georgia mountains. And we were up there. We played like frisbee golf the day before the tragedy. We just had a great time with Emily. We played tennis. We kind of, you know, we really soaked up that time with Emily and tried to make spring break trip, you know, special for her.
Yeah.
And so we were, the day of the accident, we had hiked all around up in the mountains up there. We went mountain biking and we went out to dinner that night and we were at the, a lodge and picture like a very, like very granola, cerebral Appalachian Trail hikers go to this place. There's there isn't any internet or TVs. Everybody's there with a book or a Kindle and they're, you know, just very kind of peaceful, quiet lodge. And we were at dinner that night at the lodge and that's when we got a phone call that there was an accident. And right then we lost signal. I mean, heard there was an accident. Oh. And Jamie was at the hospital and then, you know, trying frantically to get in touch with somebody. So we actually went to the front desk at the lodge and asked to use their landline.
Yeah.
And that's when we called the father of Jamie's friend who he was with on the trip. And he had just gotten there to the hospital. And that's when they pronounced Jamie dead, when we got on the phone with the doctor. So yeah. So I mean, just the.
And then you're not anywhere near home.
To be able to get there, yeah.
And it was, how far away is that driving?
From the North Georgia mountains to Miami, probably about 16 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, I mean, it was just that dichotomy I will never forget of the cerebral calmness of that, you know, lodge versus the entire McHenry family screaming and running around like idiots.
Yeah. I mean,
and people just staring, wondering what the hell is wrong with these
what
people.
What is happening? Yeah.
Yeah. Just awful, awful, awful.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, just that night, we decided not to go back that night because, like I said, by the time we got the call, it was around 9 o'clock and it was pouring rain up there.
Yeah.
And we were up, you know, to get up there, you had to drive on these, regardless of the weather condition, treacherous roads.
Yeah.
And so we waited until the next morning and that just, the waiting was just.
Oh my gosh. Awful. Yeah.
Awful, awful.
But, unbelievable. And then, you know, you have this journey still ahead of you on so many different levels and layers. And yet at the same time, your brain can't believe any of it.
No. And that's, I mean, it was like, I felt like I was in not a sitcom because in no way was it funny, but just kind of like a drama. And it was just trying to visualize, you know, this kid that was so full of life and that we weren't going to see him was just, I mean, it just seemed impossible. Absolutely impossible.
And then you have your daughter, your 11-year-old with you too, to walk
exactly.
her through
and, you know,
this path that you don't, you know, there's no roadmap. Yeah. You're trying to navigate, you know, something that's just the unthinkable. And then you have your 11-year-old with you. I mean, it's just.
Right. Right. And, you know, I felt so bad for her. When we got the news, you know, she was, of course, Jim and I are just completely losing it.
Yeah.
And Emily was running around saying, my brother, my brother. And this, you know, that's where, you know, you meet the kindest people on this journey. I remember, you know, based on Jim and I having our own meltdown, this family who was at the lodge with these two boys who were about Emily's age, you know, they set Emily down and they were talking to her and asking about, you know, her brother and asking her to tell stories about him and just,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, of course then, you know, I felt I had to snap out of it and focus on Emily, but the, it's a very, very difficult road. And I knew it was going to be, based on my own experience. I was six when my older brother, Kevin, drowned on a family vacation. Again, you know, you take this, what was supposed to be a fun time. We were camping up in upstate New York, and my brother accidentally drowned in a pool that was put in by the campground owner the year before because there were so many drownings on the Delaware. So, you know, I saw my parents go through this road with me as their only surviving child.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, of course, it was a different grief journey for them back in the 70s.
Yeah, different generation.
People didn't talk about grief. Mm-hmm. Back then, they just kind of was something you dealt with on your own. But, you know, now I'm so thankful that we have the Warrior Moms and that we have vehicles like Facebook or other open forums like these podcasts that we can talk about our grief because, you know, each one of our journeys is completely and absolutely its own, you know, experience. But together we grieve. We know, we understand.
Right. Yeah. This deep, deep pain that just, you can hardly explain what it feels like.
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, the fact that we are here in year 11, And I mean, it's still an everyday part of my life. It is, it will be mm-hmm. for the rest of my life, as Carter will be for you. I mean, it's just to let go of it or move on, as society expects you to do, is to let go of that love. You know, I mean, our love for our children is always there.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's 2 weeks, 5 days, you know, 3,740 whatever hours, which I actually calculated it'll be for us at year 11. I mean, it's just, it's awful. And it's, but I feel like, you know, the acceptance of knowing that it's always going to be there, that pain will never go away, is kind of part of being able to focus on the rest of your life. You know, that's just the way I go.
Yeah. When you think about those, you know, dark days where, you know, the grief, especially in those first several years, what were things that helped you? If you had to, you know, tell a new grieving family, what did you do that's helped?
You know, just keeping their memory alive every day and telling stories, and whether they make you laugh or make you cry. I mean, and they will. They absolutely, even the funny stories still make me cry. But, you know, just, it's so hard because the first 2 years, you're in such a fog and almost a denial. Like you feel like they're going to walk through the door at any point, because they are, you know, they're like, for Jamie, he was so full of life.
Right.
And, but also, you know, Emily, our, you know, surviving children, their world has been completely torn apart and they're often overlooked. So focus on your other children. You know, they're in a lot of pain too. And that, you know, they won't express it as much, particularly in front of their parents, because they don't want to make them more upset than they are. But you really have to focus on your child. We had the opportunity of getting Emily involved in a support group for kids here in Atlanta. And it was a support group for kids who lost either a parent or a sibling. And in most cases, it was a parent. So even on that level, I think Emily had a hard time connecting. But regardless, it was a kind of a safe place for her to go and talk about her loss with Jamie. And so I'm thankful for that. So, you know, use all use resources that you have available and just focus on getting through the day to day. We also, I think another thing that is really, it's really, really been helpful for us is
good grief. Sorry.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
Is we started a, you know, a foundation to honor Jamie and to kind of pass along. He was an avid lacrosse player. He loved lacrosse, everything about lacrosse. So we started a foundation, and we host a 5K every year in his memory. This year will be year 11.
Wow.
And it's still going strong. Thank God for that, because for us as grieving parents, you know, it's also our outlet and our way to kind of continue to love and care for Jamie. This foundation provides that. And for that, I'm so thankful. And we also got Emily very involved in helping us, you know, plan the 5K. And so I think in a way it was cathartic for her.
Way to celebrate her brother. And, you know, because of course you're sad all the time, but there's a way to, you know, come together with friends and, have this positive focus on Jamie.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is that, you know, everybody listening or whoever's walked this horrible journey, I mean, we're all given a choice, and that is to either let it completely consume us and swallow us whole, or, you know, we still have our lives to live. And, you know, we're all only here once. And even though we've got this tremendous, tremendous, indescribable weight, I mean, that you don't know, you can't even describe unless,
no,
God forbid, you're in this club.
I know.
Even though we've got this weight that we have to carry, you know, it's so important to be able to live your own life and try to find that, you know, that happy place, but also knowing that that pain is never going to go away. And I think the acceptance of that, like I said before, mm-hmm. is part of getting to that happy point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I watch you in your posts, and I, you know, of course, celebrating Jamie. But like you said, living life. I mean, tell a little bit about all the things that you do, I think, that kind of feed you as a person and feeling, you know, that you're involved in life.
Well, I'm kind of all over the place with a lot of stuff.
You are. That's what's amazing.
But I like, you know, I like to challenge myself and, I don't know, find different things. And like, I kind of learned how to play the guitar. You know, define, I mean, the word play, but I'm getting there. I'm getting better.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a challenge. And it, you know, it gives, because that's the thing. I mean, even though this horrible, horrible thing has happened to us in life, and it is defining mm-hmm. of us, but at the same time, you got to find other things that define you and make you who you are. And, you know, whether it's finding a new hobby or, I don't know, it's just because it is so easy to let it swallow you whole.
Do you remember in those early days, like, did you tell yourself, like, you have got to get out of bed? Like, what was the voice? Like, where does that come from that you just decide? Like, do you remember?
Yeah, I mean,
conscious choices.
For me, like the bombardment of just the people and the, you know, I mean, I was very thankful. Don't get me wrong. I was very thankful that our community, my relatives, my family, my friends, they all form this bubble of care around us. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I've got to get my space. I've got to get out, you know. So I would get up and I would go run on the Greenway, which is like this outdoor nature trail by us.
Uh-huh.
And I would run and be with nature. I used to take the kids for walks on the Greenway. So it was like I just had my time and I would get all my, you know, that Greenway path saw me crying hysterically.
I bet. You know?
I would just listen to Jamie's music and just get, you know, get all of, I'd scream. I'm sure the forest thought I was nuts, but just to get out and get up and get, just, you know, kind of work through the emotions. And then get back and then be there for Emily, because I knew she was suffering too. I mean, that was really hard. And I felt so bad for Emily, you know, because I knew myself that, and I was only six when I lost my brother, Kevin. So I had a very limited, memorable amount of time with him, where Emily had 11 years.
Right.
And that's difficult. I'm so thankful she had that time with him. But then, you know, you think about the rest of her life without him. And, it sucks. It all around sucks. And it always will. But, you know, you have to find that you have to accept that this happened and accept that you're never going to be the same person and that the pain is never going to go away. But then also choose to live your life the best that you can and, you know, and find that joy does exist with that pain. I mean, it's hard. Yeah. And it always will be. Always, absolutely. Always. Especially, I think about Jamie's friends now, and he had a really tight-knit group of friends from, you know, like anywhere from pre-K all the way up to, you know, some of them joined the circle, quote unquote, in like middle school. And those boys are still very, very close. And now, you know, you see the weddings and and it tears, you're happy for them, but it just freaking tears at your gut. I mean, it just tears because you know Jamie would have been there. Oh, and that Jamie will never have a wedding.
Right.
And that's, you know, the acceptance of that, of knowing that no, he'll never have a wedding. I'll never have grandchildren through him, but it's, you know, I know that. And it's a hard, hard pill to swallow, but it's one you have to, you gotta
face,
live your life in full, despite, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, in spite of our loss, to live life the fullest that you can. Because all only here once.
That's so true. And I, the first time that I came to the Warrior Moms, I think just speaks to how you and Christy created this community. I mean, when you walk in, you know, I kind of tease about it, but it sounds like I'm coming into, you know, a monthly wine club. You know, it's loud, right. Laughing and hugs and telling silly stories. And then you also could look around and you have, you know, two moms sitting there and crying and hold, you know, holding memories close and sharing with one another. And it is so just apparent that that is part of your purpose that you have found, through this, really helping teach us, how do we do that? How do we live in the and, you know, of being both incredibly sad and finding great joy.
Right. And that's, I mean, some of these women are, you know, I mean, like, look at you and I, Michelle. I mean, everybody had heard your story on the news. And as grieving mothers, you hear these stories and you feel the first thing, I mean, of course, you think about the kid.
Yeah.
But you think about the parents and you're like, oh my God. Those poor people, they are in for a long, difficult journey. And that's what I thought about with you. And so when you came to the first Warrior Moms meeting, I mean, I was like, oh my God, how is this woman here? And yet you, and not to turn the interviewee tables, but you are such a joyous person. And we all heard what a horrible, horrible story that was with the shooting. And so likewise, I am in awe of you. But, you know, I mean, the fact that we can all get together and tell our stories and not feel like we're telling our other non-bereaved friends who have kind of, I feel many of my friends have kind of gotten tired of me talking about Jamie. I mean,
yeah,
but I always want to talk about
it. Yeah, and I'm sure they you know, of course they love you and love Jamie and want to hear it. It's just without really understanding that it is part of our fabric. Like we have to share because that's all we have.
Yes, exactly.
And, so that's, you know, and our people do the best to kind of, you know, nod and listen and be a part of it, but.
But they don't know. And, you know, it's a horrible initiation to actually get to know.
Yeah.
And you don't wish that upon anybody. But so the thing about Warrior Moms is it's a safe haven. It's a place where I can tell and, you know, like it takes a lot for me to cry. And, you know, I find it's such an outlet of emotions when we go and we hear other people's stories, because we know we can connect that way.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that we have this group. And, you know, like that one meeting that we had, when was that? A few meetings ago where there were, oh my God, there must have been 30 women in that room.
Yes, there were.
And you hate it for every single one of them.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, and Warrior Moms, even though we have, like I said, we have our own separate individual stories, individual loss, individual way our children died. You know, you get in that room and it's just, it's like, okay, I can talk the way I want to talk now. Yeah. I can talk about Jamie and not feel bad about it, not feel like people are like, oh my God, here she goes again. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Because they will always, always be a part of us for the rest of our lives. You know, my husband and I, we talk about Jamie on a daily basis and we laugh.
We laugh
and we cry and we mourn all the stuff that he has missed. We hate that. Hate it. But at the same time, we have to, it's like Dr. Seuss, you know, be glad that it, what's the saying? Be glad it, be happy. I don't even know. Google it.
I can't remember it either, but
I'm trying to be happy that it happened and not sad that it's over, you know, and that's a difficult thing to do.
Right. To cherish the time you did have. We do. And that's what is, I think, so powerful when we all get together is you do see just the beautiful people, you know, really finding the light and, you know, trying to remember that, okay, we're thankful they were our children, but gosh, also this grief is deep.
It's very, very deep. And, you know, I think about my parents and, you know, my dad would always say to me, of course, you know, I was 6, Kevin was 8. And throughout my life, you know, my dad would say, oh, do you know what today is? And I knew, but I'd be like, no, you know, I didn't want to open up that door because I felt like it made my parents really sad.
Right.
But now standing in their shoes, I know they were sad and they wanted to talk about it. And I feel bad that I never allowed that for them because I didn't really know.
I
was young.
And we don't as humans. And, you know, like I think you had posted it if you don't understand why I have to keep putting pictures, thank your stars, you don't understand.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And when I, you know, because I do, I post the same stories, the same pictures, but it's kind of like when I get up in the morning, that's one of the first things I do. It's kind of like my meditation time with Jamie.
Yeah.
I remember the memories. I post the stories and then I peel back another layer on that giant onion of grief that we never get to the center of in this lifetime. But it allows me to then be able to go about my day and focus on the here and the now.
Yeah. Do you think that that carving that time really does allow you, you know, I mean, control maybe is the wrong word, but a little bit where you have this space for sadness and talking to Jamie. Does that help you have less sort of triggers throughout the day, or maybe even a little bit of guilt?
Right. I think it does. But there's always those rattlesnake moments, the rattlesnake grief, I call it, where, like, you know, you're in Publix or Kroger and all of a sudden you're walking down aisle 5 to get potatoes for, you know, a recipe you're making that night. And his favorite song comes over on the Muzak or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and it, people don't realize how it brings you back to day one, or, you know, to happy memories, happy times. I've got like an entire playlist of Jamie music and, you know, all the songs that were popular when he was 13 that he loved.
Yeah.
Which now seem, listening to them, they seem so dated. And, you know, they'll only continue to get dated, more dated, but it's my connection to him.
Yeah.
And it always will be. I mean, this, you know.
Yeah.
It just, absolutely. It sucks. It sucks. There's no, you know, this type of loss, it's just out of the ordinary. It's not the sequential, you know, you're supposed to bury your parents and not your children, and all the dreams and the future. Like when Jamie was hit by that car, I always think of the world and fate and how in an instant it was rewritten. You know, the girl he was supposed to marry, the kids they were supposed to have, and like, boom, it happens. And then other stars align, and and that's a really difficult, the what ifs, what haves, that's awful to live with.
Yes. Well, I want to just end with, tell us one kind of, like, description of Jamie so we can, kind of feel that 13-year-old. What's something, or even just like a photograph, something you've posted recently, maybe, when you think of him that, just brings.
Oh my God. I'm trying to think of like one particular thing, but you know, one of the, this is crazy. So I was Jamie's room, which we're still in the house that Jamie was born and brought, well, he wasn't born in the house, but brought home from the hospital and lived all of his life in this house. So his room, even though we changed it up, it's still pretty much a shrine with all of his stuff in there.
Yeah.
But it's also become, out of necessity, you know, the place where all the gift wrapping goes, where the vacuum cleaner, the ironing board. It's just, that's just the way it is. Right. So, you know, I'll go into Jamie's room and grab something and not even, I mean, of course I think about him when I'm in there, but you know, then I go out and do my thing. And the other day, and this is typical Jamie, and I swear to God, I felt like it was a message from him.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for, I think I was looking for ribbon for a friend's party that I was going, I was looking for ribbon for a gift, and I open up his desk drawer that I've been through so many times, you know, just with this accumulation of his stuff. And there on the bottom, I found, and I just started laughing, I found his fart machine.
Oh my gosh.
Which he thought was hysterical, and he brought it to school. He got in trouble for it. And it just, it made me laugh and cry at the same time.
Yes.
And I thought, oh my God, April, and this is just last Tuesday. And I was thinking, oh my God, April 1st is on Monday. I'm going to have to bring that to the office.
Yes. Maybe make it a whole week or month of you carrying it around.
Yes. Cause that's just, he was just funny. And, you know, I mean, again,
his
that's
little
kind of scatological humor, but he was just a funny, funny kid.
Oh, like the text messages that you share online between y'all and, you know, his facial expressions, the silly, just ridiculous, you know, pictures he would send you. Just,
yeah.
Oh, like he was, you said, so alive, just hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. The pictures from this week, 11 years ago, are popping up. And like, there's this one picture I posted. I had texted Jamie. I kept saying, call us, call us. You know, he was having fun and he'd send one word answers, you know, like, Jamie, are you having fun? Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah. Or like a heart or whatever. And then, as a matter of fact, it came up this morning, a post where I had texted him and I was like, do you feel guilty? Your mother's at home slaving over tax returns. You're in paradise, yeah. Something like that. So he responds, not with any words, but with this picture. And it's him with this, all these palm trees and feet. And he's kind of got this like smirk on his face. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel real guilty, you know?
Yeah. Real guilty. Hey, mom. Yeah. Yeah, here's my guilt. Nope.
Yeah. Exactly.
Aww, I love it. So, well, thank you so much for really, you know, guiding us and sharing your journey and just always so honest. You know, I know we look to you for just, you know, how should we walk through this life? And I can't thank you and Christy enough for that. So,
oh, Michelle, well, you do a great job of honoring Carter yourself. I mean, it's really difficult. And I thank you and Amy for doing these podcasts and hopefully helping a lot of people out there, you know.
I know. It's amazing. We just can't even believe we pulled up our numbers this week and now we're in 27 countries.
Wow.
I know. So hello. From all over the world.
Hola. Oh, what's some other?
I know. We need a whole list. Bonjour.
Yeah, do we need a, do we need subtitles for some of our?
I know. Wow. I it's absolutely amazing. And we're so thankful that this is helping in some way.
Yes. And to all you women who are in this horrible club out there, you know, please just keep on keeping on and you know,
yeah,
just give tell your story space. And always,
yeah.
Your child will always be with you. I mean, it's just, I wish you the best in navigating this horrible path and living your life.
Yeah. And you always remind us, and I think it really fits your, you know, your love and who Jamie was of, you know, Jamie would want you to laugh and be silly and all, yes, of these things. And you think about, you know, you tell us that, you know, if he can see this world that you're living, you want him to be proud and not to be like, oh my gosh, mom, what are you doing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Get out of bed.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. You used to make me get out, you know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I played a tennis match on Thursday, and there's another warrior mom who has not made it to our meeting yet. And she happened to be, she's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I never met her in person until Thursday. She recognized me, and it was her first time in 3 years getting out and playing tennis.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you know, I told her, I said, your son would be so proud of you getting out there and trying and living life.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's that balance of honoring your grief, right? Of giving yourself grace. And like you said, finding the space to scream in the forest. But then also digging in. It's both of those things. And
yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for carving that path for us and joining us today.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And keep on keeping on.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.